Stories from California Cattle Country is produced by the California Cattlemen's Foundation and receives support from the California Cattle Council. We've created this podcast for those wanting to connect with the people and practices of far-flung ranches and dairies throughout California through hearing stories from and learning more about the families of cattle country. As I've mentioned before, the season is taking a new approach. We're looking at specific issues concerning all Californians through the lens of California cattlemen. This allows for an in-depth approach to these themes. Our last four episodes concerned the prevalence of fire in our state and its increasing intensity. This episode will serve as kind of a segue from fire to our next subject, which is predators, a subject that should be a concern to all Californians. As I'm sure many of you know, Free Willy was a 1993 family film about an orphan child, Jesse, befriending an orca in a failing amusement park. Spoiler alert, in the film, Jesse does indeed free Willy to return to the ocean and reunite with its pod. The film was a massive success and spawned many other franchises. In fact, it was so popular that a fund, eventually eclipsing $20 million, was put together to free the actual captive orca featured in the film, Keiko, back into the ocean. The attempt was successful, or mostly successful, and Keiko was relocated to south of Iceland via a C-17 loaned by the U.S. Air Force. Keiko was penned and monitored for 4 years in an effort to prepare him for reintroduction. Now, he was completely free by 2002. Though he failed to join a pod, he would frequently return to his last pen seeking human interaction. Keiko died of pneumonia soon after in 2003. Now, I'm sure this is a ranching podcast. You're wondering what I'm talking about and would like me to get to the point. Well, the point is that this country and planet is forever and will be an altered landscape. Wildlife, especially apex predators, and humanity rarely work out with a positive outcome. We are now the apex predators. We kind of exist in this three-cell Venn diagram between urban areas, natural areas, and agriculture, all overlapping in what's called the wildland-urban interface. Now, a reminder, the WI, or WUI, is a zone of transition between wilderness, or unoccupied land, and land developed by human activity, an area where a built environment meets or intermingles with natural environment. Human settlements in the WUI, catastrophic wildfire, and also experiences with predators. Another layer of complexity is how Californians have altered the wildlands by introducing species from other continents. Things like wild horses or wild boar or Burmese pythons in Florida. Say in the case of horses, they were not endemic to the United States until introduced by the Spanish about 500 years ago. Over time, some escaped and some were intentionally let go. I often had the misconception that ranchers and environmental stewards alike would celebrate their existence in the wild, until they learned it's quite the opposite. Now, through no fault of their own, they're destructive to California wildlands, so much so that the Bureau of Land Management has a budget request for more than $154 million for this year to deal with wild horses and burros. Now, rounding them up often by helicopter is no doubt costly, but in addition, the animals need to also be given fertility treatments, rehomed, and sometimes both. This is to say that the interface between wildlife and urban areas is complex. In this series, we're looking at predators that pose a risk to ranchers, but are also becoming more prevalent in California's urban areas. In this episode, we speak with rancher Miles Flournoy of the Likely Land and Livestock Company in Modoc County about the prevalence of wolves in the area, the effects that they can have on a ranching operation, and what could be done, if anything, to mitigate it.
Do it. Do it.
Come on, Willie, I know you can do it, boy. I know you can jump this wall. Come on, I believe in you, Willie. You can do it. You can be free. Come on, you can jump it.
I'm Ryan Donahue, and this is Stories from California Cattle Country.
Hello.
Hey, Miles.
Ryan, how you been?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
You've been on before, but if you can briefly explain who you are, what outfit you're with, and a little bit just about where you're located, because it's pretty unique.
Yeah. Miles Flournoy. I'm a fifth generation cattle rancher My great-great-grandfather homesteaded in the South Fork Valley in Likely, California in 1871. And we're still here. And we are in the northeast corner of California, right next to Oregon and right next to Nevada.
I was reading back. There was a story about your uncle, Billy, back when he was CCA president, and he started highlighting concerns about the about policy regarding wolves in the area. You guys are, you know, pretty far up north, and I think you probably had some of the earlier experiences with them. But what do you know of the history of them being in the area?
Yes. So we've been really lucky. I mean, wolves are coming and there's nothing we can do about it. And we're trying to, but they're just tough about it. But wolves have passed through, but never settled. We've never had a pack affect us or any of our neighbors. Our little region here has, for some reason, the wolves are above us and the wolves are below us. And they're over in Siskiyou County, of course, but they've never really affected us until about 3 months ago. This is a pretty fresh event we've had going recently, and our neighbor, that's about probably got to be 20 miles as the crow flies to the northwest of us, has two wolves at his ranch, and they're just living off of his cattle. He's had four confirmed kills. He's got cameras up. The fish and game are out there. They're trying to take shifts protecting their cattle to haze the wolves away. But I was just out at his place on Tuesday, and a wolf had killed a baby calf that morning and eaten it. And he was getting that all confirmed with the Modoc County Sheriff and the Fish and Game. Yeah, pretty sensitive subject, hitting pretty close to home. We hope it doesn't affect us, but we don't want it to affect him either.
It's interesting, and that's the thing. In our last episode, we spoke with Kirk Wilbur about what you can do with certain species, and obviously, and I think this is the only state in the union where wolves enjoy certain protections from the Endangered Species Act. Last time I was at your place, maybe the time before last, I was in the cookhouse. I was talking to somebody, and they said they got brought in by the authorities because their phone pinged within 15 miles of a take of an animal that was protected. I don't know if it was a lion or a wolf or whatever it was. Like, they're definitely paying attention. Do you have any mitigation that you can do, or is it just kind of let them go?
It looks like you just have to feed your cattle to them. You can, I think there's some language like you can harmoniously haze or non-harmfully haze the animals away with flags or just shoo them away. I don't think you're supposed to shoot a gun to scare them or anything like that. You definitely can't kill them. Yeah, it looks tough. So, and also the other thing he mentioned was eight packs. If they get eight packs of wolves in California, they're supposed to start allowing some type of hunting. That was another thing that was mentioned. And they're near that, but they're holding it off.
Last time I was there, and this is a couple of years ago, and I don't know if I was talking to you or one of your family members, but you guys had like a puppy that was like a livestock guardian dog. I think you got it from Dan Macon.
Right.
And I can't remember who I spoke with, but they kind of were like kind of dubious about whether it was going to be effective or not. How did that experiment end up?
Specifically for our situation, you could make that work on the meadows and get a guardian dog or a guardian donkey. They even have also out there that could protect your cattle. And when you're feeding your cattle in the winter, you could train those dogs to probably stay with your cattle. It really works with sheep, but sheep really stick together. Where it's going to fail here, or the most challenging part of it, is our grazing allotments, our vast grazing allotments, like Big Sage grazing allotment on the National Forest there. I think it's 80,000 acres, and we turn out, you know, 180 cows out there. They get scattered out pretty far, and you don't get to see them every day. You can't check them every day. They don't stay together, and it's a remote. And how would you get out there to feed your dog? And your dog's not going to be able to find them all either. If the wolves are out there, that's just an example of the challenge for how we're trying to utilize our natural resources.
Another conversation I had when I was out there, that amount of kills is obviously financially a huge problem. But beyond that, I remember speaking with Billy, your uncle, and talking about just the effect on a herd of just one cow being of predation. Can you just explain what happens to a herd after they experience something like that?
After a wolf's been chasing them, you mean?
Oh yeah, a wolf's been chasing them, or they've been taken by another animal or whatever. But like, how does it affect the herd?
Oh yeah. Well, they're going to be stressed, scared, running for their lives. They're not going to utilize the range or convert the feed as efficiently as they normally would. They might not cycle if they're as regularly as they're supposed to, like a healthy animal would. Your conception rate's probably going to go down. Like on the rangeland, the utilization of your feed is because they're probably going to start staying together in groups, the cattle, for protection. And if they do that, they're not going to spread out and use all that feed like they need to. So over the overall body condition of your cattle is going to go down.
In the article I read, it's from what I think 2015, when Billy was part of the CCA, or was a president of the CCA. He was talking about in the article, there was like a bald eagle hanging out. And he mentioned that bald eagle was hanging around just to wait for some afterbirth to eat. But do you have any other predator concerns up your way? Because, you're in a very, very wild, desolate area. I think there's like two people per square mile or something where you live.
Right, real rural. There's some real remote areas out here in wilderness. No, the wolf is hammering us. The mountain lions don't seem to bother the cattle. They seem to focus more on the deer. And our deer population isn't doing very good because of that. The bears don't seem to bother the cattle for us specifically. And then the bald eagles are more scavengers, like you mentioned. And coyotes, we just try to keep a handle on the coyotes. They can be they're just a kind of a ruthless creature. They can eat a calf out of the back of a cow during calving if she can't get up and there's not enough activity around there. Kind of bad things like that. So we just try to watch that, but not a huge problem happens. But like I said, try to just keep those numbers down.
Last time I was up there, again, a few years ago, but I was in Alturas, north of Likely, staying there because that's where the hotel's at. I saw there's all the deer were hanging out at the gas station.
Like, yeah, in Alturas.
Yeah, they're all in town.
definitely. There's a town herd of deer specifically, and they've found their protection in town. And most of the predators don't like that much activity, and so they stay away. They did catch a mountain lion in Alturas, right near the junior livestock show grounds in the elementary school, though, and got it out of there. But other than that incident, they haven't had any predators in town. So those deer are sort of protected in people's yard fences and eating their gardens and their apple trees and hanging around there. But the wild deer would be a different herd of deer. Their numbers are really hurting because of the predation from the, I think mainly from the mountain lion. But I think even the wolves, if they get established, I think they're hard on the mountain lions. I think they'll kind of linger around a mountain lion until it kills something, and then they can run the mountain lion off and eat its kill.
I know Lassen County has the Lassen pack, and then Siskiyou has the whale backpack, which is booming. And then there's two or three wolves at Tehama County. From what I hear in Modoc, it's just a couple of not rogue, but individual wolves. Is that true? Or are they starting to pack up, or do you know?
Yeah, well, the two of them, and they're from the whale backpack. They DNA'd them from some droppings they got. But I don't know if they're gonna, so I think one of them is a female. I don't know if they're gonna breed or they're gonna have a litter of puppies here and set up shop here. They've really been camping on on our neighbor's place over there, and we're really worried about it. But
yeah, I mean, the thing is, and like another overarching kind of thing that I've just been thinking about a lot is that, you know, I understand that there's people that love, you know, wildlife and the wild land and everything. But the fact is, especially if you live where I live in the city, right? We live in altered landscape, you know, and there has to be concessions for certain things, you know. I was thinking another story that I actually learned in your cookhouse was, I assume that all like cowboys would love wild horses. You know, in hearing, it's just like, oh, I didn't, you know, I just didn't know. It's like wild horses, you know, first of all, aren't endemic to North America. And the ones that are let loose are kind of a problem. Is that right?
Yeah, huge issue. Devastating to our grazing allotments where the horses are present.
Yeah, my understanding is they eat differently than cows do.
Cows only have bottom teeth, and horses on their incisors, their front teeth. The horses have top and bottom teeth and can bite the grass off clear to the dirt. And they're out there year round. So the Forest Service and BLM doesn't let us turn our cattle out until the feed starts to get established. But the horses are there ahead of time in those ultra sensitive areas, springs and watersheds, where they're just keeping that feed, never letting it get a head start. And so consequently, they're using them as a long-term holding facility, our grazing allotment, and the only control they have is to decrease the cattle numbers or the time when they were out there. And so they're doing some mandated horse gathers, but it's taking them years and years to get down to the numbers that they call AML, appropriate management levels, I believe, of horses. Certain amount of horses are allowed out there, but they're way above that.
Obviously, because they tend to gather them with helicopters, which is, you know, not cheap. But then even when they're put somewhere, they're also funding their care afterwards. I think like wild horses have like the best PR of any animal, yeah. You know, because like if it was any other kind of, if it was pigs, it would go way differently. You know, they're just so majestic and everything. I want to thank you for giving me your time. I hope I didn't interrupt your day. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Look forward to it, Ryan. Hope it's something you can use.
No, it's usable.
If it works out.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Miles.
All right. Take care.
Feedback is much appreciated. If you have any questions or ideas, you can reach me directly at ryan@calcattle.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.